You're listening to the INSEAD Alumni Global Women in Business Club podcast. I'm Liana Slater. We're collecting stories and having conversations with women in business to inspire, inform, and connect women and men who want to thrive in their careers and in life.
Thanks, Liana. This is Chris Thorpe, host for today's podcast and INSEAD alumnus from the MBA class of 2000. As part of our Women in Investing Spotlight, today we have Karen Hitchka, who is board member at Yunus Social Investing, working with Nobel laureate Mohamed Yunus. Karen started her career in the science field, moved into consulting at McKinsey before attending her MBA program at INSEAD, and then joined the Apex venture capital firm where she started her professional investing career. Here she is.
I would have loved to have more female mentoring, especially when I was in venture capital, because at that time, I mean, there were hardly any women around, and the few women were behaving like men. And I think, you know, from today's perspective, that doesn't work. Now that I'm more self-confident with myself, you know, decades later, suddenly you understand the mistakes you did and where you could have had a much easier life, you know, being more confident, being more transparent, and having somebody who tells you that it's okay to be like that. And so I'm a bit on a mission on that front, I have to say, to kind of really help some of these young women along and say, you know, it's okay. I mean, just be yourself. You don't have to behave like a man just to be accepted. It's okay.
Karen, thank you for joining us. Can we start by getting some of your background and the story about how you eventually ended up with a senior management position at Yunus Social Investing?
Yeah, sure, absolutely. And again, thanks so much for, you know, being part of this. As you said, I have a science background. I decided to study biology because I really had a passion for that subject. And I also had some, let's say, social intent about saving the world. I really wanted to work in agriculture to develop drought-resistant crops. So I had a very clear mission. Just the unfortunate thing is during my studies, I found out I was not really a scientist. I love biology, but working as a scientist is different. So when I graduated with my master, which in Germany at the time, you couldn't even do a bachelor, just a master degree, I decided to change career, change track, and was very, very lucky to get a job at McKinsey as a fellow. So that was quite extraordinary, very much a 180-degree turn, as you can imagine. But I think it really got me on a completely different trajectory and really helped me move into a very different space of, you know, away from science, but in something really exciting. That was also the reason why I then decided to do my MBA, because obviously I knew from 2 years McKinsey as a consultant, I had learned really a lot. I got a lot of insight, but I was still missing, let's say, the business background and a little bit more profound knowledge about it. So I decided then to go to INSEAD to catch up a little bit on that front, which I think I did very well. And INSEAD was a great place to be.
Did you realize at that time that there were only about 20% of the student body was women at the time? And was that a factor in your decision, or did it play any part of that decision process?
It was not the main factor for me. Was the diversity at INSEAD in terms of, you know, where people came from, that it was truly European and international with its profile. And of course, I mean, I've always been going with McKinsey, working there, it was always important for me that as a woman, you have the same opportunities. And I would have loved to have a few more women, but I didn't feel, you know, out of place in that sense. Somehow I was getting used to the notion that women in business were somehow in the minority at that stage. So I grew up with a lot of self-confidence. It was never myself thinking that as a girl, I would be, you know, not at par with my male classmates.
We're going to take a quick break, but when we come back, I want to ask you about pay levels. We'll be right back.
We'd love to hear from you. Send us an email at iwib@insead.edu, or you can check out our website at blogs.insead.edu/womeninbusiness-global-club. You can send us your questions, your feedback, and maybe even some ideas for future content.
Karen, can you address pay levels for women, both on the consulting side, but also in the investment management community? What was your experience?
The pay was absolutely the same, certainly at my level. And from everything I know, and I have some insight into the structures as well, the pay is absolutely the same. It's really performance-based. I think the question is more who, you know, basically makes it through the ranks. But as soon as you have the same performance, I think there's real fairness on the pay side. So I never had any concerns. Also, me as a woman, I was getting exactly the same pay as the other fellows who had joined there. I think that was never an issue. The issue is more to say, you know, how do you, let's say, compete or survive or fare in such an environment, a business environment that's very tough and very different. And I think that's really where the mentoring comes in, where you think about, you know, how do I behave as a woman, or what are kind of normal traits as a woman, or typical traits that make you, you know, kind of behave maybe differently. And I was very young when I joined. I was very insecure. Obviously, coming from biology, I really didn't know anything about business at the beginning. And then having to deal with clients who are 20 years older than you, it only adds to that. And I think that's typically women or female, that you have, that you are a little bit more shy than your male counterparts. And that is something I think that's even more important to say, you know, how do you overcome that? And still are your true self, even in an environment that puts you under a lot of scrutiny and, you know, gives you a lot of visibility, but also puts a lot of pressure on you.
Let's go back to the confidence point. Did you feel that not being confident was just an issue of being a minority, or was it some other, you know, confidence issue where women or younger women aren't given the chance to, you know, lead or have those opportunities?
I've been thinking about that a lot, and I'm not sure what the right answer is, I have to say. I think it's a mixture. What I do see is when I talk to younger women who are in their education, that many of them have less confidence in themselves because maybe they boast less than males. I think you have to learn over time, maybe that's a matter of maturity, that just because your male colleague doesn't appear to have any self, let's say, doubts or anything, he might still have them, but he might not voice them. I think it's a communication style that you, where you have the reality check doesn't always fit with reality. So you think somebody's more self-confident, you feel you're the only one who doesn't think he's up for it. But I think men are better in hiding that, to be very honest. And I think that's something you have to learn over time and then discount what you hear to kind of get it back to the same comparable level.
Yeah.
But you don't do that when you're 25. That's the problem. I think when you're 25, you don't see that. You're very much in your own world. You're just trying to, you know, live up to expectations, which in that environment is even tougher than in other environments, I guess. And over time, you usually learn it. I think I learned it, but it does take that time and does take encouragement from other people, male and female, I would say, yeah. Both.
Yeah, we keep hearing that. And I think that there's the way we get to improve businesses is by making sure people understand that everybody's in the same position of self-doubt, and some people just can behave more confident versus actually being capable. So let's go back to why you went back to business school. You were at McKinsey. I guess you wanted a change. You wanted to bolster your business acumen. How did you think about, you wanted to go into investing per se at that point, or were you still, you know, investigating opportunities?
I wasn't even thinking about investing at all. To be honest, it was pure serendipity. I maybe just quick explanation. When I joined McKinsey, I joined a fellowship program where you have 2 years of work as a regular consultant. And in the third year, they allow you to do your MBA or a PhD. So this was a set program, which was ideal for me because I knew that I could do the practical work, but then I would also get the more theoretical background. So I got an opportunity to have an MBA paid by McKinsey. I was supposed to go back after that. And then I just, out of the blue, I got a job offer. And I had, you know, good inclination to go back to McKinsey because I really was performing well. I did like the environment. in Seattle opened my eyes a little bit to have a little bit more of a neutral view on consulting and how that world was faring. But in general, I was positive. And then out of the blue, I was offered a job in venture capital, where at that stage, Apex Partners was looking for somebody who combined the science part, so the biologist, and the business part, because they were intending to build the continental European life science teams for Apex Partners. And that was pure luck there.
Karen, you were talking about opportunities coming to you. I just heard you say it was pure luck that you got an offer, I think it was with Apex Partners, and then an offer came to you coming out of INSEAD. And I'm just wondering if you can think back, it would be helpful for people listening to this, like what did you do though to help those opportunities find you? You know, I just think a lot of women tend to say that. And I think you probably did a lot more than maybe you're saying right now to get these great positions. That maybe surprised you, but at the same time, like you were in the right place at the right time for a reason.
I think I think there are a few things, of course. I mean, yes, if you are an INSEAD, there's a regular career fair. I mean, people look at your CV. So of course, you know, you're out there, you're in public, and you know that companies screen regularly. Apex had INSEAD alumni. So one of the partners was an INSEAD alumni, so he was recruiting. Mm-hmm. But of course, I think what is necessary, I think that's where you say, yes, there's support. You need to be open for those opportunities. So initially, to be honest, I had no clue about venture capital. And I also have to say venture capital at that time, that was 1996, was just not prevalent in Germany. So continental Europe didn't have a strong venture capital scene and nothing that I was aware of. But then I looked at it again. I thought, well, sounds interesting. I thought initially was investment banking, which I didn't want to do. But then I did have a second look and kind of gave them a second chance, to be honest, because the first time I declined them rather than the opposite. And then said, you know, no, this is really interesting. And then I jumped. And it was a tiny setup at that time. We had three people in Germany in Apex Partners, and we were three new people, young people joining. So it was a tiny setup coming from a large McKinsey, which was kind of a safe bet with something clear for your career. I think this is maybe where, you know, yes, the job coming to me was, I would say yes, to some extent luck because I hadn't really applied to them. But on the other hand, having that open mind to say, yes, I'm trying out new things, I think that's really important.
You took a
and
risk.
Certainly that's something I've done throughout my life. I mean, even my first move, you know, from going from biology to McKinsey was a complete change of trajectory. I mean, also culturally, philosophically, it was a major, major jump for me. But I think it opens your mind to what else is possible. And I think that's the important part that you always have to maintain.
Definitely. And can you just tell us a little bit about what you're doing right now in your current position?
Yeah, sure. Absolutely. I love talking about that. So I made a bit of a change in my career quite a while ago. And about 8 years ago, I took a step back. I'd been abroad and was basically looking for a new job and decided that I was going to go back to my roots, to the social side, but wanted to combine my business side and my business skills, venture capital skills with my, you know, with my scientific, but also social side. And I looked very actively out for the area of social businesses, social entrepreneurs, and hooked up with UNO Social Business, which is an organization, it's a nonprofit organization that is basically doing impact investing. So we're supporting social businesses in different developing countries, work closely together with Professor Yunus, who invented microfinance, but also social business. And so here I'm really combining both, right? It's social business, and it's totally venture capital in the sense of business stringency, everything. But on the other hand, these companies really focus on creating social impact or environmental impact. I've done that for the last 8 years, built the organization with a few other people, and I'm managing director there.
Yeah, and in that job, you must see, especially in developing countries, a fair gap between women entrepreneurs and men. Can you talk a little bit about that?
Sure. The vast majority of entrepreneurs that we see and meet, in fact, are men. There are or sometimes mixed teams. There are very few who are only female, I would say. But on the other hand, it's less, we are not really focusing on having women entrepreneurs. What for us is important is the impact they are creating. That the impact they are creating is, for example, empowering women is what is important for us. If at the top the entrepreneur himself is male or female is a secondary effect. Of course, as we all know, mixed teams are usually performing better. So we do look into, of course, at the combination of the management team, but it's not the primary factor. If you have the diversity in the team, you look more on the profiles, diversity in general, and how they perform, how they complement each other. But it's true. If you look at it, I mean, it's still a space. I would say in social entrepreneurship, you have probably more women than in general entrepreneurship in general, because more women are interested in combining or bringing that social aspect into how to run a business. So you do find in general in the whole sector, in fact, more females than you would in a classical venture capital community, I would say. But of course, a lot of these countries are rather, you know, still male dominated. It depends a little bit though on where you are. I have to say in Brazil, we find, which is one of the countries, we find more female entrepreneurs as well as male. In other countries like India, it's more male dominated in general. But that's just, you know, I mean, it's kind of more out of my gut feel. It's not like that I would have the statistics now.
Karen, when you talk about more women being involved in social impact investing, is there a financial reason behind that too?
I think it's both. I think one of it is that, yes, women are more willing to sacrifice for a mission or for, you know, for a little bit of something larger than just money, let's say, to put it a little bit very simplified. And I also think, to be honest, I think women do have more of, let's say, more integrated view of the world sometimes. I think less black and white. I don't want to offend any man here, but I do find that a lot of women I talk to have a bit more of a, you know, different levels of understanding and also what is important for them. And it's a little bit more of a rounded picture. Whereas I think with men, it's easier to say, you know, it's the focus, the main focus is money first and everything else is kind of nice to have. I think it might change. I think it is in fact changing also the way the impact investing world is developing, which I think is very positive because you don't want to be a niche. I mean, you want to become mainstream. I think I'm very positive about that you have more men engaging in this sector, and that clearly has changed even in those 8 years where I've been active there. Mm-hmm. But I think that is where the origin comes more from, women wanting to help and being on the social side. And now basically the combination between the business professionalism and the social, let's say the social side gets more men together.
Right. It's more mainstream. And I don't think it is terribly negative to say that men might be more focused on the returns, on the financial side of it. I do think that there are more women who are involved in investing who might have dual career, you know, partnerships. And so they, you know, and then maybe men perhaps have more single income partnerships. I don't know if that makes sense, but that's something else to just consider. I think women are, just to talk about the financial kind of aspects around it, because that does obviously drive career decisions. So it's good to highlight that. Mm-hmm. Be frank.
But I think it's not the only decision factor. I think it's maybe the willingness to compromise and not putting the financial return at the very, very top of every decision making. But I think it really is also this rounded picture to say, you know, what kind of world do you want to live? To live in the future, what kind of world do your children want to live in and you want your children to live in? And I think that's something where maybe you have a bit of a more holistic view sometimes on these things as a woman. I mean, I have two kids. I do have a husband. So we have these discussions, and it is a pattern that I do see quite regularly in people.
Karen, what advice would you give younger women that are potentially thinking about going into investing as a career path?
Try to find, that's what advice would I give them. One is, I mean, you can do everything everybody else can do. Most women who get an offer there are all women are as smart as any man. So don't, for heaven's sake, get intimidated. You're as smart as the next to you, no matter male, female, whatever. Learn from others more seniors or just others who have other experience as much as possible. Just be open to that rather than trying to hide if you don't understand something. I think people get used to that kind of transparency after a while. And I think women, let's say, I think young people too often make the mistake of not asking for advice, which and admitting maybe that they don't know something, where the seniors don't mind, but you're too often intimidated. And I think women even more than men, as we talked about the, you know, insecurity. And I think it's so important. And if I look from today's perspective, somebody comes up and says, can you explain that to me? I don't understand it. Or why don't, can I have your insight on that? I'm very open to it. I don't interpret it as a weakness in that person. And I think that's where young, you know, basically new starters in the industry are maybe too shy to really dare to ask, and women especially. And I think this, having that kind of trust in yourself to say, I am smart, but it's perfectly okay, I don't know everything, will, I think, get you very far, because that's really how you learn and benefit from and leverage, you know, senior people in the organization. And I've learned the most from senior partners, working closely with them and really getting their input. And it's been amazing how much you can benefit from that if you have basically the courage and the openness to really listen to that and not shy away from it.
Well, thanks for being with us today. Thank you to Karen Hitchka, who is a board member at UNIS Social Business Global Initiatives based in Munich, Germany. Thank you. Karen is an INSEAD alumna from 1997.
Thank you for listening. During this time, we're thrilled to see our enthusiastic global INSEAD women in business community growing even closer through sharing knowledge and experiences on this platform. We hope you join us next time as we continue to share stories and insights to inspire, inform, and connect.
Music by Patrick Prouty, available on iTunes.